Now I want to address the broader subject of harmony, not natural harmony, but harmony in general. I'd say printed harmony. Harmonization can be both pleasing and not pleasing to an individual's ear. Harmony is an extremely complex subject, as proven by a high school music theory course using a book written by Nikolai Rimsky-Korsakov in Russian. My wife had this course in high school in Detroit, where the instructor taught, he was from Russia, where he taught from the book written in Russian, and he translated it on the spot into English when he was teaching the kids. Here is a book translated into English. This is the book he used, but translated into English. And there's a whole bunch of rules on harmony in there. And it's kind of hard to follow. It's kind of hard to teach also. In college for me, in my music program, here are the books that I had in 2 full-year theory courses. The first one was theory. This was 1 year. This was the second year. And they had all kinds of rules, and we're expected to know all of those rules. We're tested on, we had to write music following the rules. We were tested on following the rules.
And very often those rules were meant to keep the music from sounding boring or consistent or old-fashioned, so that it's always changing a little bit and sounding new and interesting. What does that do to congregational singing if every time you sing something it sounds new and different? It's not going to work. People are going to just let someone else do the singing. So the reason our liturgy is not boring is because we are praying it. And they change, the melodies change, and the words change for the hymns for the different services. That's where our variation is. So we can afford to have a harmony that's a lot simpler than those rules would give for composed music for a big choir.
Now also added to those 2 courses, which took 2 full years, were 2 full years of ear training, which had separate books and recordings, which I did not bring. Pitch matching, trying to sing a third, a fourth, a fifth, and all that stuff. That's a 2-year program. So don't feel frustrated if Jeff and I are talking about stuff and it's hard to get.
But do ask if something's not
do good. Ask. Now, my instructor for those 2 years had a master's degree in music and learned advanced theory and harmony for her master's degree from this textbook written by the composer Walter Piston. So you pass that around. Conclusion. Composed harmony can be extremely complex, and in these classes they only talk about Western harmony. That's all they cover is Western harmony. All this training just for Western harmony, not Oriental harmony. So I would say that it's impossible to teach any of that in 1 day. Okay, we can't teach it here. We can't even start to begin to teach it.
And we wouldn't necessarily want to, because that's a kind of art music that's great if you have a trained choir that rehearses and is to be heard. Your congregation, when they sing, is not going to be singing that kind of music.
And besides, composed harmony is not the subject of this class. I was given assignment for natural harmony. Natural harmony, unprinted harmony. So now, again, back up a little bit with some more review, but maybe some new things about natural harmony. Who? Natural harmony has been sung without musical notation by Byzantine Catholic congregations in Europe for an unspecified number of years by people who did not take fancy high school or college courses, who, by the way, had little or no formal schooling, and until the invention of the printing press, they didn't have prayer books and texts. And they, even with the books, most of them did not know how to read. They had to be taught how to read the prayer books. Now, in America, natural harmony is heard by the descendants of the European immigrants in mainly Byzantine Catholic, and American Carpatho-Russian Orthodox Diocese, ACROD, A-C-R-O-D, parishes, and also seems to be declining. There are a few, very few number of Orthodox parishes left that are part of OCA or maybe ROKOR, Russian Orthodox, because a lot, there were a lot of Byzantine Catholics around 1900 and also around 1900 that went to those Orthodox parishes, and they were gradually Russified, gradually forced to learn Russian chant and Russian harmonies and things like that. But those parishes that had a large majority of Carpatho-Rus and Carpatho-Russian people, they managed to hold their own and stick and have some of, you know, our own singing, our own melodies. But still, we're being Russified. One that I went to, instead of the Christmas Kentuckian, they were singing a choral version composed by Bortnianski. A little bit at a time, but they were being gradually Russified. Okay, when is natural harmony heard? It is heard in virtually all church services, at pilgrimages, and during some banquets, but again, its presence seems to be declining. The singing at pilgrimages, along with the singing in some parishes, may yield the best examples of naturally harmonized congregational singing. So go to the pilgrimage if you want to hear it. Why the use of natural harmony? I can only theorize that after much reading, singing of it, and discussing with many, that natural harmony is the natural product of personal musical development, that is the individualized combination of that person's nature and nurture. It happens naturally when it happens. The extent of natural harmony ability is part of a person's makeup at any individual time in his or her life. If he or she is ready, he or she gradually gets into it at any age and finds it enjoyable and able to be further developed. Unlike sports, where the body slows generally in one's 30s, music allows continual challenges and development throughout one's entire life. People enjoy the experiences and opportunity to make music with a variety of different hymns and people as a team. It is very satisfying from a continuing human creation and a Byzantine, we are each an individual standpoint. You teach in 7th and 8th grade catechism that we are individuals, and we stress being an individual. The priest and deacons say our names when they administer sacraments to us. From the very beginning, God knew that we were going to be here today with our particular talents and so forth. We are individuals, so we all have individual capabilities. So when we're ready to sing natural harmony, we will. But, again, you have to, if you know what the formula is, you can start off by making sure people hear it. That's the first step. It also helps us teach religious truths through music, as I said before. The faster and more easily you pick up the music, the more you pick up the text that you're singing.
One thing that harmony does also is, because we know what those chords, what those dissonances and consonances should sound like, it can actually help people stay on pitch. It can actually help people remember the hymns. And it's kind of strange, but I've seen this many times. People who have heard a harmonized hymn have an easier time remembering the words, because there's more information coming in that fits into this fabric. Even if they only sing one line, they can remember the words. And the words, as our prayer and our teaching, are important. As cantors, the word is primary. The music is the mesh that it fits into. Okay? But harmony can help that.
Now, the use of natural harmony also blends in with how the brain works. Recently sat through a talk on the latest information of how the brain works. And wanting beauty, wanting order, wanting teamwork, the brain wants that. And so we are satisfying with the, our individual development and team development, we are satisfying this part of what the brain wants. Now, more on nature versus nurtured. In a personal survey recently conducted by me, individuals were asked, when did they first become aware of harmony? When did you first realize that what you were hearing was harmony? Like, when did you realize that was harmony and not just a chord? And then the second question is, when did they first personally sing or perform harmony? Okay. For the first question, the results varied from age 2 to age 15. That's when they first heard harmony. And some saying they were never aware of harmony, like my mother-in-law, she would insist she never heard harmony. For the second question, which is when did you first perform harmony, sing or perform harmony, either on an instrument or sing, the results varied from age 3 to age 40. Okay, so you have enough courage to sing it, or maybe enough opportunity and then courage. So let's now say that a person is born with certain talent for music. That's the nature. The person may have the ability to musically develop fast if the development can be prodded by means of teaching, coaching, experimenting with an instrument, etc. That's the nurture. What one is born with can be dubbed nature. Nurture is what is done in developing what one is born with. It is a good idea to musically nurture a child, and I'll tell you why. This is why there should be, I'll tell you this right up front, this is why there should be more teaching of church songs in the catechism program. Have your class and then have a short singing thing. So what I had as a kid, that there should be singing at home, you know. Why should it be good to musically nurture a child? Why? Because the rate of learning that one is born with can be significantly increased by nurturing, teaching, and developing the child through about age 22. Now, this age 22 is an old number. It may be changed now. You got a new number? Okay. But at least a few decades ago, it was age 22. At that approximate age, one's rate of musical learning becomes fixed at whatever it is at age 22. You can still learn throughout your entire life, but the learning rate stays where it was at age 22. Thus, if a child with whatever talent or nature he or she was born with, if he or she is nurtured by hearing music in the home and church since birth and is encouraged to sing or make music and learn songs, that child at some point is more likely to learn how to sing natural harmony at an earlier age than an identical child who is less nurtured. And now, all of this has something to do with when you try to do things and you do things musically or even with other learning, it builds further neuron endings. Your neuron endings in your brain grow, okay, and that growth will go on until age 22 or so, and that affects the rate of learning.
So that means, but one of the side effects of that is it means by doing congregational singing with harmony, you are passing it on better to the next generation. We don't hear that as much in our churches now. But if in our parishes we start it or improve it now, then it will most likely continue to grow and be a lot easier for the next generation.
Now, if schools are on a budget and they cut music in order to have lots of sports, you're hurting the kids with these musical experiences. Similarly, adults past age 22 are limited to the learning rate they had at age 22. You can still learn, but the rate does not improve. So as a cantor or choir director, you have to be patient with everyone you have, because they could still learn, but just maybe not as fast as someone who had music, you know, for the first 22 years of their life. Okay, break time.
I think so. We're going to take a short break. There is coffee if you need it down at the other end of the hallway. Bathrooms are in the middle of the hallway. If we could be back here in 5 minutes or so, get up, stretch, walk around. We'll do some singing.